الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an, another group that emerged is known as the Khawarij. And after the Battle of Siffin, everything ended with Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was more preoccupied with the issue of Khawarij. Now, Khawarij were a group of people that rebelled against the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. The reason for that has been explained by Abu Musa al-Ashari rahmatullah alayh, that they rebelled and defected from the army of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an because of the fact that he had accepted the process of arbitration with the Syrians and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And now, according to the Khawarij, who were incredible individuals, according to them, their motto was that لا حكم إلا لله, judgment is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that human beings can't decide on matters that concern religion. And so this process of arbitration is illegal in Islam, it is not jais and it is unlawful, and therefore Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an cannot be the Khalifa of the Muslims. And they were saying that how is it possible that in such an important matter, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an submitted this matter to a tribunal, a human tribunal, where individuals would decide what would happen when this is the matter of the Quran. And so this was their belief, unfortunately. These were individuals who were extreme in their views, extreme in their piety, in their virtue and vice, both extreme in vice and virtue. As for their taqwa, it is said that according to them, anybody who indulged in a major sin, gunahe kabira, according to the Khawarij, he is a kafir. So if you committed a sin, you were a kafir. And so these were people who were very careful, and they would not even eat a single date without the permission of the owner. But at the same time, they would be very quick to kill even a Muslim if he was not of their belief. And so that is why it is said that Ibn al-Muljim assassinated Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an whilst he was reciting the Quran. Now, can you imagine that? He is reciting the Quran off by heart, and he assassinated Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. And so this is the beginning of this group, Khawarij. And so, incredible people, and in fact incredible in a way that, not in a good way of course, nothing good about these individuals. Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Alayh, the great Mufassir, speaks that Khawarij are the same people who entered Madinatul Munawwara, pillaged the city of Madinatul Munawwara, looted the Islamic treasury, and finally murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And according to them, this was justified. And that is where the Khawarij actually stems from, according to some of the people, some of the Mu'arrikheen, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Alayh. But these were individuals, some of their masail and aqaid, ulama have mentioned, according to them, the Khalifa does not need to be from the Quraysh. Anyone can be the Khalifa. According to them, it is farz to fight an unjust ruler. So it is farz for them to fight an unjust ruler. According to them, if you were to miss your salah, you are a kafir. And a lot of their masail, so they took this very strict stance, but unfortunately, inappropriately, they could not understand the sunnah and that moderation that is in the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so you have to be extremely careful, my respected brothers. That is why knowledge is a great asset. Knowledge is a great asset. It gives you an understanding. It gives you an understanding of deciding what is right and what is wrong. That is why scholars have mentioned that the most intelligent was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, for him to select Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an as a Khalifa. He was the most intelligent that he selected Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an as a Khalifa, and he did not give a choice to anyone. And he said, after me will be Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who is the Khalifa. And everyone must accept him as a Khalifa. And he is the well-wisher of this Ummah. So he was the most intelligent. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also bless you with wisdom. Sometimes what happens is that a person can be very strict. A person can be very strict. All of a sudden a person will listen to the bayan and he himself wants to change. 5 minutes ago he was a different person. And now because he's listened to the bayan, he wants to become, instantly he wants to become a great wali of Allah. It's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. If he wants to change, he can change. But then what happens is that he goes home and he says, right, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. I want you to wear a full parda, full niqab, this, that, sab kuch, everything he wants to change in one night. And then after a few days, again, what happens is that the shaitan comes back to him, look what's happening, what did you do? And then again, he loses out from that iman, that level of iman. And so everything comes very, very slowly. Everything comes very, very slowly with wisdom, with hikmah. And inshallah ta'ala, when you do things slowly, not so slow, that you miss out from Islam completely. For example, if someone says, oh, I'm only praying 3 times a day salah, so I'm doing things slowly. No, that's farz. That is farz. You can't do things slowly here. That is farz. You have to do it very, very quickly. And so hikmah is very, very important, my respected brothers and elders. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hikmah. So these were Khawarij, very strong individuals. You'll find even today people who are very extreme. Oh, you can't vote. Oh, that person, he can't do that, you can't do this. That is haram, this is haram, this is that. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. In fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali is the narrator, and he says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, close to the day of Qiyamah, a group of youth will emerge. A group of youth. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of people who are middle-aged. Young people will emerge and they will speak as if they know the Quran, and in reality they have no knowledge of the Quran. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they will miss Islam like how an arrow misses the target. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Very careful. Subhanallah. Just today somebody was telling me, I happen to say in the bayan that brothers, knowledge will come with a bit of jihad. Knowledge will come with a bit of jihad. Jihad doesn't mean that you go out in the battlefield with weapons and fight. Jihad actually means to strive in the path of Allah. So knowledge will come with a bit of difficulty. A bit of difficulty, a bit of jaddo jihad, you know, to stand up and mashallah to take time out, to make an effort, to give time. That's when knowledge will come. And so I happen to say that you can't just be sitting at home and having your food and mashallah sitting on your leather sofas, listening to Zakir Naik or anybody for that matter, and feel that knowledge will come in that way. Now, Allahu Akbar, I have mentioned the name Zakir Naik, but I don't mean to criticize anybody. What I am trying to say in comparison is that with comfort you can't gain anything. If with comfort you could gain anything, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have said, no problem, don't have to come to the masjid, make your own jamaats at home. Make your own jamaats at home. Don't go for Umrah, Makkah, Mukarramah. No. Subhanallah. And he said that, oh, we learn a lot from Zakir Naik. You learn a lot from Zakir Naik. Why? Because you listen to him. Because you listen to him. When is the last time you have sat in a majlis, or even for a Jummah bayan, somebody can say, yes, I came to the masjid at 12:50, and the bayan started at 12:50, and bayan ended at 1:25, and I have listened to the whole bayan. Or go to any of the ulama in Leicester and sit in their majlis and you tell me if you haven't learned something. Tell me if you haven't learned something. Subhanallah al-Azim. A man who's not a hafiz or an alim, mashallah, and you say you are learning something from him, good, alhamdulillah, a person can learn from anybody. That is khair, there is no problem. But how can you say that I'm not learning anything from the ulama? La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. This is again shaitan, this is hasad, my respected brothers, because we have turned our face away from knowledge. And knowledge means the knowledge of sharia, the knowledge that has got a narration, a sanad. And so we need to have that right thinking. That is what I'm saying, my respected brothers. Whatever is said in sharia does not mean that you take it literally. And this is what the Khawarij did. They took everything literally, but there's a meaning to it. There is a deep meaning to the ahkam, to the qanun, to the laws of sharia. And that is very important for us to understand, my respected brothers. So, if you want to change quickly, you can change quickly. But don't enforce your level of taqwa on other individuals. Give them the opportunity, give them that time to change slowly. Otherwise, it becomes very, very difficult. Everything will collapse. And I have seen that, and you have seen that also, my respected brothers. I have known a person who has divorced a lady because she said, oh, this is my new sink, and why do you spit in my sink? And out of anger, he said, talaq to you. Talaq to you. And ridiculous reasons. And sometimes they have so much taqwa, understanding, they don't have the right understanding of knowledge, the right understanding of Islam. Which is very, very important, my respected brothers. That is why when some of the companions came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person said, I will never get married again. I will never marry any woman. Another person said, I will never sleep in the night. Never sleep in the night. I will read tahajjud all the time. And another person said, I will fast every day of my life. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of this, he got very angry. And he said, anyone who turns away from my sunnah, that is not Islam. This is not Islam. You are actually playing in the hands of shaitan. Islam is about moderation. Islam is about wisdom. Islam is about hikmah. Hikmah, mashallah. You have to think a lot what is right and what is wrong. Don't make quick decisions. Every time, look at the Khalifa, the Khulafa. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala's decisions, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala's decision, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call the three companions who have taken this extreme stance. And he said to them that I am the best in the creation of Allah, and I sleep in the night and I read tahajjud. I am the best in the creation of Allah, and I have children and I have made nikah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Allahu Akbar. And you will find me at times that I am fasting, and at times I have no roza, I don't fast. I miss out from my fasting. And so if you do it slowly, inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah will grant you steadfastness. That you will become, you will have istiqamat, which is very, very important. And the Khawarij people were very strict people, but strict in a way that they had no understanding of Islam. These were people who would kill people. And they were prepared to fight Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, just like the, how they assassinated and murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Some of the scholars have mentioned that the origins of Khawarij comes from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they cite one hadith. And they say that the first Khawarij, the first Khariji, was a man whose name is Zul Khuwaisira. And in the hadith it is mentioned that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had sent some gold to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a leather bag from Yemen. When he was in Yemen and he conquered Yemen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and many tribes embraced Islam. So he sent a bag filled with gold to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. And so when this bag of gold came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed that amongst four companions, Hazrat Aqra, Hazrat Zaid, Hazrat Uyayna, and Hazrat Alqama. And it was these four companions. So some of the individuals who were there sitting, one particular individual, in one narration it is mentioned, he was Zul Khuwaisira, he said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be fair and just in his distribution, and that we are more worthy to receive the gold that comes from Yemen rather than these four individuals. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't hear this, but when news was given to him that one person spoke in this manner, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call him here in front of me. And when somebody praying here, somebody praying? Hazrat Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, Zul Khuwaisira, if how can you not trust a man who Allah has made as a trustee to you? And again he looked at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, all I am saying is that you should be fair and just. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very angry and said, if the Nabi of the time is not just and fair, who else will be fair to you? And he stood up and he walked away from the majlis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was there, and he stood up and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me permission for me to strike off his neck, as in to kill him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Maybe he prays and performs his salah. Now the Khalid bin Walid was angry. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, there are many people who perform their prayers with their tongues but have poison in their hearts. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes Khalid, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not compelled me to inspect what is in their hearts. What is in their hearts? That is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala didn't say anything. And then when this man was walking out of the masjid, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khalid, from this man's progeny, a group of people will come out who will be proficient and fluent in the recitation of the Quran, but Quran will not go above the collarbone. The Quran will not go above the collarbone. And Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was listening to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry, He said, if I was to be alive when this group of people come out, I would do jihad with them and fight them, and need be I would kill them like how Allah killed the people of Thamud. Like how Allah killed the people of Thamud. That is how angry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. Why? Because according to them, they spared, when you look at history, they spared the Jews and the Christians, but what they did is that they killed the Muslims. They killed many Muslims, the Khawarij. According to one historical narration, as many as 20,000 defected and turned away from the army of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And some have said that 14,000, Allahu alam, but a lot of people did. And there are many narrations in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that speak about these individuals who are known as the Khawarij. In one hadith, Hazrat Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. Some of the companions came to him and they said, have you heard of a group of people who are known as Haruriya? And so Hazrat Abu Sayyid al-Khudri said, I haven't heard of Haruriya, but I have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a group of people will emerge that your worship in front of them will become insignificant. That when you see them worshipping, you will feel that your worshipping Allah is completely insignificant. What you are doing is nothing. Your recitation of the Quran is insignificant to their recitation of the Quran. That is how they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the night they will perform tahajjud, they will recite the Quran, and they will do everything, but at the same time with all the good that is there, the evil is also there. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was actually giving a prophecy of these people who are known as the Khawarij. And that is why it is very, very important that we remain with this group which are known as the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. During the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Ibn Abbas, a great scholar, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him that before the Muslim army comes out to fight the Khawarij, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam promised Jannah to those who will fight the Khawarij. And he said, before the Muslim army comes out, as in Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, now just imagine the difficulty Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had. Compare his Khilafat. From day one, they put him into Khilafat. Medina Munawwara, the difficulty that was there, the rebels were there, the Sabi'een were there, and then Jang-e Jamal, Jang-e Siffin, that battle, after the battle, another group comes up, the Khawarij. And then he sends Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an to debate with the Khawarij in a location which is known as Harura. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, being from the Ahl Bayt, when he came, he wore this beautiful suit, jabba, and a new jabba to debate with them and to see their reaction. So when he got to the Khawarij where they were living, they looked at Hazrat Ibn Abbas and they says, oh Ibn Abbas, what is this suit? What is this suit that you are wearing? And so Ibn Abbas knew that you get some people that you only need to speak with them in the verses of the Quran, otherwise they don't accept anything from you. And so Ibn Abbas says, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has prohibited the adornment of clothes which Allah has taken out for His servants? And so they couldn't respond to that. They couldn't respond to that. That is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, it is said that every day he would wear a new suit. Every day he would wear a new suit. So for example, if you're wearing a kurta now, tomorrow that kurta will not be in his closet. It won't be in his cupboard. It will be given as sadaqah or to his students. And the students would queue up to take the kurta of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So every day new kurta. There was a man who had a shop, mashallah, and he would make sure, he would sell clothes, and he was very fond of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And in love, he said to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that I will provide a suit for you every day, a new suit for you. And what I want is that if that suit was to touch your body and then give it to the students, to the fuqara, to the masakin. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal agreed to that. And every day a new suit. And then in the morning he would take it out and give it to the students. And so that is why a lot of people, even today historically, would say that we have certain clothes that belong to a shuyukh, a sheikh, or even Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. There is a possibility. And so he dressed up in beautiful suit, a jabba, and he came in front of the Khawarij, and he said that I have come to you from the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I am asking you, what is your issue with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala? Now Hazrat Ibn Abbas was a handsome man, very beautiful, tall, and mashallah, and they said, okay, Ibn Abbas, come to us, we want to speak to you. And so the Khawarij took Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala on one side, and he said, there are three issues, which is a problem for our community, the Khawarij. And Hazrat Abbas said, Ibn Abbas said, what three issues, three masail? He said, the first mas'ala is, how can you allow individuals, men, to decide upon important issues of Islam? And this process of the arbitration plan between Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, this is something that is clear in the Quran. Why did Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala choose two individuals, one from his side and one from the side of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, when judgment is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Judgment is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hukma illa lillah. And Hazrat Ibn Abbas says, okay, your second question? And he said, my second question is that when we fought the Syrians, Hazrat Ali did not allow us to take women as captives, and he did not allow us to take the spoils of war. Why not? We are entitled to that. And so Hazrat Ibn Abbas said, okay, your third question? And he said, our third question is that when the arbitration plan took place, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he himself erased the title of Amirul Mu'mineen. So if he says that he is not Amirul Mu'mineen, if he has erased the title of Amirul Mu'mineen, so he is no longer a Khalifa. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an said, is that all? And they said, yes, that is it. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an said, I will answer you everything in accordance to the Quran. As far as arbitration is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that power to individuals, which is in the Quran. And in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there is an issue between a husband and a wife, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. If there is a dispute between husband and wife, the easiest way to resolve this is that from the husband's side, he should appoint an arbitrator from his side, someone to speak. And a lady, the wife, should also appoint someone, and the two should meet together and solve the dispute that is there. So there is arbitration in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ. Do you agree to that or not? And the Khawarij said, yes. That is also in the Quran. And then they said, okay, our second question with regards to taking females as captives. So Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an said that, are you prepared to take Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha as a captive? The wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Siffin and in the battle of the camel? Is that what you want? And Hazrat Ibn Abbas said that if you are of the opinion that Hazrat Aisha is just another ordinary lady, then you are still a kafir. Then you are still a kafir. And if you say that she is not the mother of the believers, then even then you are a kafir. Even then you are a kafir. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and is a man of wisdom. He knows that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is a Muslim, they have good intentions. There is no such thing about taking the women as captives and spoils of war. They would perform salah together. And we've covered all that. And so what is your opinion? Would you take Bibi Aisha, the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the mother of believers, as a captive, as a female captive? And they said, no. No, we wouldn't do that. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala answered, as for your third question, Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen raised his name as Amirul Mu'mineen. That does not mean that he said that I am not a Khalifa. Even during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and write, min Muhammad Rasulillah, that this is a treaty from Muhammad, who is the Rasul of Allah, the mushrikeen said that we don't take Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a Nabi. Well, the issue is about Risalat, so we don't accept him as a Nabi. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Ali, Ali, delete the words Rasulillah. And Hazrat Ali said, ya Rasulullah, I can't do that. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself deleted the words Rasulullah. And so by deleting the words Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does it mean that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that, okay, I'm not a Nabi now, aliyazu billah? So by deleting your name, you're not a Nabi? And they understood. And it is said that by this debate, as many as 3,000 Khawarij came back to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. And they came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But again, a large group of them, 10,000 plus, was still in Iraq. And they were not prepared, and they wanted to fight with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. What you read, your understanding is very, very different. It's very important that we sit in the company of the ulama and listen to the masail. And if you don't understand anything, they will give you the wisdom and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this verse in the Quran, or why this hukam, why this mas'ala is in front of the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.